Good morning. Today I'm going to tell a little bit of a story. I'm going to talk about a young man and someone who was close to me at one point of my life and how he decided, due to different circumstances, different reasonings, that he no longer needed to be part of the church. And the dangers that came with that. See, as we read through the Bible and was just read for us in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, we have a need to be assembling together. Not just because it is a command that God gives us to assemble together, but also that when we do assemble together, it is for a reason. Recently, due to COVID and due to other reasons, this has really been called into question. People using COVID as a little bit of an excuse of why they don't come to church. They claim things like, well, I made it through the pandemic on my own and didn't need the church then, and so therefore I don't need to be part of the church today. They say things like, I love Jesus, but I don't need the church, or they say that the church is outdated, or, you know, really, I can just worship God on my own. I don't need the church by my side. But God's plan for Christians, although we do have to figure out our salvation on our own, there's no way that I can drag somebody across the finish line. I need to make it there myself, and somebody else needs to be willing to cross that finish line as well. But we are also to be part of a church for a lot of different reasons. We are to be part of the church for a lot of different reasons, and we need to assemble together to be part of a congregation for a multitude of reasons. And so today's sermon is why the church still matters. Why is it important for us to assemble together? What do we gain out of it? And what do we gain out of it, but what do others gain out of it as well? See, the church was God's eternal plan. Sometimes you'll talk to somebody and say that they'll say the church was just an afterthought. They'll say that, oh, God had a plan to set up a nation by sending Jesus. Jesus was supposed to come and was to defeat the Romans and to set up the new nation of Christians. And somehow the Jews thwarted that as a second thought until the next coming of Jesus, we have the church in its place. But what we read in something like Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, it says, so that the manifold wisdom of God might be known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. Before this set of verses in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul is saying that there is a mystery of God, that God has hidden something, given a lot of stuff forward, but has hidden something in the background. And that something is Jesus. That before, he was giving out little hints here and there, but for the most part, what Jesus was going to come and do was even hidden from the angels. And the prophets, they had a lot of the story, but they didn't have it all. And now what Paul writes is that through the church, that mystery is revealed. That mystery of Jesus and what he's going to set out to do is revealed. And through him, he created the church. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Peter makes this bold confession. We believe that you are the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, truly, your name is Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. On what rock is he building the church? Well, on the confession that Peter just made, that he is the Son of God. That is going to be the rock. That is going to be the foundation. That is going to be the starting point for what? For his church. And even before the Jews were able, before the Jews killed him, put him to death, he had a plan. And what was that plan? The church. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, to the Ephesian elders, Paul says, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. God's plan from the very beginning was the church. That God was going to set this in motion through Jesus Christ. And the plan was that Jesus was going to go to the cross, was going to die. As was mentioned earlier, he was going to suffer shame and agony and pain and bleeding. And more disgrace than anybody has ever else experienced. And he went there, why? To pay the price for our sins. To pay the price for our sins so that we can come to know God. So that we can be part of his church. He bought the church with his blood. Christ did not merely save individual people. He saved the church. And as Christians, as people, we need to be part of the church in order to be in that plan of salvation. If we remove ourselves from the church and we act like, well, we're okay, we're worshiping God in our own way, separate from everybody else. God did not save the individual person, but he saved the church, and he wants us to be part of that church. If Christ died for the church, it can't be an optional thing. It can't be an optional thing that we do just, oh yeah, we just want to, or we just, you know, choose to whenever we want. We show up once a year, once a month, or we just kind of come and go. It has to be something that we do regularly. Something that we want to do, something that is a pull for us that if we don't do, we feel guilty about it. I was talking to a Christian recently, and she has had times where she was going through kind of difficulties getting up on Sunday and getting ready, and there's other stressors going on in her life, and she just couldn't be making it to Sunday morning services. And so what did she do? She made a plan. She made a plan and she stuck to it to try her hardest to get out of bed, to get going earlier, and to be ready to participate. But she said when I asked her about why she wasn't, she's like, I'm just got all this other stressors going on. I try my hardest. I can't. And afterwards, I just feel so guilty if I miss. And it's not because she feels guilty because she feels guilty about sinning or anything like that. She feels guilty because she wants to be here. She wants to be participating in the church. But things are getting in the way, and she wants to serve God. And she knows in order to serve God better, she needs to be part of the church. The young man that I talked about was one who eventually, even though he was teaching classes, he was doing good things, he was working hard for God. He was one that eventually came to the realization in his own mind that he doesn't need to be part of the church in order to worship God. And he was one that we could guarantee that he was going to be in attendance on Sunday morning, but slowly and surely started to see him less and less and less. Because he had taken the idea that he needs to be on his own to worship God. The church is the body of Christ. We are told that we are to be part of the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 through 23, it says, "And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." In Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5, it says, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." Paul writes in Ephesians, and he says that the church is the one body, is the body of Christ. And he mentioned, just as Christ bought the church with his blood, we, as the one body of Christ, are the church. And a church and the body needs its members to function. It needs everything to be set in a certain order, in order to function. We have all sorts of different parts of our bodies that all do different things. My eyes, they can see. They can see walls in front of me so I don't run into a wall constantly and break my nose. My eyes can't smell, though. My eyes can't hear. My nose can smell. My eyes or my ears can hear. And we have these all put together in such a way to keep us alive and safe. If I didn't have my eyes and I didn't have any guide to help me through this, what would I constantly be doing? I would be constantly walking into walls, breaking my nose. If I didn't have my nose, what would happen if I walked into my house into a gas leak and then went over and turned on the stove? If I didn't have my ears, what would happen? And it's possible to function without those things. There's people who are blind that have a well-rounded life, that do great things. There's people who are deaf that have the same situations. It's possible to live without these things, but they rely on their other senses to help them through that. And if they lost all their senses, they couldn't live. We not only have our senses, but we have skin that protects us. We have bones that protect our innards, our organs. And if we didn't have those bones, we'd be all mush on the ground. We have skeletons that give our bones structure, that keep them locked together. Our bodies are created in such a way for us to succeed, for us to grow and to be productive. And the church is the same way. The church is a body that has many members. Not just members as if in the number of people, but that have all different roles and tasks and duties, that have all different kinds of jobs to do within it. Why? To help the church continue to grow. I think of shepherds or elders as the eyes of the body. As Paul wrote to the Ephesian, said to the Ephesian elders, be overseers. Well, the elders, the shepherds are there, why? To keep an eye out for what's in front, to keep out an eye on what is going on within the body. Why? So when something comes up that's going to split the church, they are prepared. They are ready to go into action and to get the rest of the body prepared and ready to divert where need be. And we all have different roles, and none of these roles are more important than the others. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, for even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:14 reiterates that idea, but then we get down to 27 and it says, now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. You have an individual role to play within the body of Christ. And that doesn't matter what it is. Your role could be as simple as being here. Why? To learn. To learn and grow in faith so that eventually you might be able to take on a new role. Your role might be teaching the children. Your role might be cleaning for us, vacuuming for us, cleaning the bathrooms for us. Your role might be sending cards to people. Your role might be visiting people that are sick or that are homebound. Your role might be being up here and teaching classes and sermons. And each of those roles is important, because if it was left up to one person, if the elders decided that they were going to do everything, something was going to eventually get missed. They could only do so much. Yes, we are blessed here to have three shepherds that work very, very hard for us. And three is better than one. But eventually, something is going to be missed. Something is going to be missed if it was just left, everything was left up to them. If everything was left up to me, you better believe things will be missed. I have four kids on my plate, and not only that, but I'm learning how to preach, and I'm growing in my preaching skills, and constantly having to work on that. And if I wanted to be a good preacher, that would have to take priority over something like vacuuming in here. Everybody has a role to play, just like in our own bodies. The young man that I talked about, he lost interest in his role that he wanted to play. He had inspirations to maybe one day become a preacher, maybe one day be able to come up here and preach like I'm doing. He was already teaching kids classes, and teaching not only the kids classes but the scariest kids classes, the high schoolers. He would participate. He would come when they would offer opportunities for members to come and to teach, whether at a class or preaching. He would be there to do that. But eventually he lost interest in that. And he didn't lose interest because he just decided it wasn't for him. He lost interest because he didn't see the importance of what he was doing. I'm interested every time I read through the different books, 1 Corinthians, Romans, any books that Paul wrote to the churches. He calls people out by name and says, greet this person, thank this person, do good for this person. Why? Because Paul recognizes the good work that person is doing and making sure that they know about it. And so I thank all of you for all the work that gets done behind the scenes. So why? So I can focus on my family and working on my preaching. Because there's so much more that goes into being here that I don't have to be a part of. Why? Because others are taking care of it. And so I appreciate each one of you that does something. And I encourage you to keep doing it. But I also encourage you all to seek out the people that are working hard and thanking them for their service to the church. As we have members that are working together in our body, our bodies will succeed, will continue to grow, will be strengthened, will be good. As members of the body of Christ, we need to be using our skills and our abilities to help the church grow. What happens if you decide, I'm going to work out one arm every day, and I'm only going to focus on whatever muscle is right here, and I'm never going to do anything else on my left side, I don't care about it, I'm just doing this. That you're going to have a really strong right arm, but that's it. In order to grow, you need to work on with the whole body. And you can grow and become strengthened. The church is where spiritual growth happens. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, it says, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as shepherds, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of his stature, which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming, but seeking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Just as I talked about, in order to grow, You need to work out. You need to work your body in such a way to get stronger. Not just your right arm, but your body as a whole. We all have seen the weightlifters that obviously, and I'm going to make a joke here, have missed leg day. And they have big upper body muscles and they look so weird when you see their legs and their twigs. we can't be like that. We can't be working out just one muscle and ignoring everything else. We're not going to grow that way. That one muscle is going to be strengthened and grow and be good, but the rest of the body is going to be weak. But we work together as a whole. Why? To grow the body. And if we are removing ourselves from the body, how can we expect to grow? God has a design for growth. We're supposed to grow when we're being taught, when we're teaching. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Early on, when the church was first established, Acts 2:38, repent and each one of you be baptized. And it says that thousands were baptized. And what did they do? They immediately went to learning. To learning, not based on their own ideas, the Jewish law or anything, but based on what the apostles, the direct connection to God, had to teach. And that's where they learned. When we get up here on Sunday morning, when I get up here on Sunday morning, I teach from what the apostles and what the prophets wrote. For you all, for myself, so that we can grow in those teachings. I don't teach based on my own opinion. Why? Because everybody has an opinion, and they're all bad. But I teach based on what God teaches us, which is the truth. We are encouraged when we meet together. Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. Take care, brethren, that there not be any one of you in evil, unbelieving heart. Let me start over. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened and by deceitfulness of sin. When we gather together, we encourage one another. We strengthen one another. We check on one another. Not only just our physical health, but our spiritual health as well. We look to see who it is that is hurting, that is going through battles. Why? So that we can help you carry that load. And if you're dealing with sin on your own, you might succeed. But if you have somebody next to you that's encouraging you, that's helping you through that sin, removing that sin from your life, you'll succeed even better. And meeting together, it keeps us accountable. It provides us accountability. In Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We have in our mind, well, I do have this sin that I'm dealing with. I'm going to go there, and I'm going to sit down, and everybody's going to point their fingers at me and laugh, or they're going to call me names, or they're just going to continue to discourage us. And we have in our mind that everybody is against us and nobody else has ever sinned the way that I have sinned. The reality is that we are all sinners. And if anybody is guilty of a sin, if anybody is hurting and dealing with temptation and pain, spiritual pain, this is where they should be. And we're not going to make fun of you. We're not going to tell you that you're worthless or that you're just a sinner or any. Because guess what? We are all sinners. We are all guilty of it. But we're here to make sure that we are all heading down the right path. And one thing that you are dealing with may be something else that somebody else, something that someone else is dealing with. And by coming here, you and talking to others, you can be an encouragement to them as well. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." God expects us to grow. God expects us to continue to grow in the faith. There's an expectation that God has here. He tells the Jews, the Hebrews, you all should be teaching. You should be the ones who understand God and understand Christ first. But you Hebrews, you're off in left field. And he tells them, you need the basic elementary principles of what is taught. And sometimes in life, that's what we need as well. When you talk about a baseball player, let's say one season he has 70 home runs, and he has a 300 batting average, and he's the best player in the league, and he won MVP. And the next year, he gets up there, and he's barely scraping 150 batting average. He has three or four home runs. What do the managers tell him to do? Go back to the basics. You're trying to do too much. And sometimes in our life, we have times where we are trying to do too much, or we're trying to do everything. We're trying to control everything. We're trying to be the strongest Christian ever, and we're missing something. And we need to take a step back and look at the basics. When that young man removed himself from the congregation, from the church, and was on an island by himself, he had no accountability. He had no encouragement. He had no way of learning besides what he was reading and studying on his own. And what we saw there when we were able to meet with him at times was that he was interjecting his own beliefs into the Bible. And he started to drift away from the Bible completely. Why? Because he didn't have anybody saying, "I don't think that's right." And he eventually had that fear of, well, they're going to call me out on this. And so I'm going to remove myself further from the church. See, Christians are... they come to church. It's where Christians are encouraged to remain faithful. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, it says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembly together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 12, it says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart." There's a reason why God wants us to assemble together. Why? To help each other, to stay faithful, to continue to do what is right. If you're on your own, you're going to do exactly what that young man did and start changing the Bible to fit your agenda, to start changing your beliefs to better yourself rather than to better the church or to better God. And by having a companion to watch over you, to make sure that you're running in the race in the right direction. And when you do stumble, they are there to help you out, to help you get back on the path. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing." If you remove yourself from the church, we have no idea what's going on in your life. If you don't come and tell us what is going on in your life, we have no idea. I can consult a crystal ball and stare at myself face to face for a while if you want, but I still have no idea what's going on in your life. If you're here, we can check on you. We can help you to grow. We can see each other face to face. And you can tell us what's going on. And not only that, but you can tell us how we can help you stay faithful. How we can help you to continue to grow. But if you're on your own, we can't. Because we have no idea. And then you feel like, well, why isn't anybody encouraging me? Why isn't anybody helping me through this difficult time? Why isn't anybody here with me now? Well, because you have isolated yourself from the church. And that is not God's plan for the church. It is not God's plan for a Christian to be on their own. Why? Because Christians on their own will fail. As God said to when he created Adam and he saw that Adam was alone, he said, "It is not good for man to be alone." Why? Because you get all these things in your head. And not only is it not safe, physically not safe, but it's spiritually not safe either. God's plan for the church is that it would be a witness to the world. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." As we talked about, the church is the body of Christ, how it needs all its members to continue to do good, to continue to grow. And part of that growth and that duty that the church has is to evangelize, to teach others, to let the light shine out into the world so that more people will realize, I need to be part of the church and come together. But if it's missing people, if it has no guidance, if it has parts of its body that is missing, it won't grow as well. At times it can even fail. Like I talked about, if you drive down pretty much any street in America, you can find some church building that is there. And you can see a lot of church buildings that are empty on Sunday mornings. Why? Because that congregation has died. Why? Because it was all, because the members were all separated. None of them were doing what they were supposed to be doing. None of them were doing what God asked them to do. And they might have been on fire and on top of the world at one point, and then the next week they're gone. Why? Because they weren't working as one body. And I know congregations that have failed because they put all of the tasks, all of the work onto two or three people. And what happens is they get tired. They get burnt out. And then those people start missing services. And then eventually, hey, I haven't seen Randy here in a while. Okay, I'm not going to come in either. I'll go somewhere else. And the congregation fails. And so we need to be working together, not for our own good. That is important, for our own good, for the Christian next to us, for their good, but also for the world. Because there needs to be a light out in this world, because this world is filled with darkness, is filled with evil, is filled with wickedness. We need to shine our lights out there so that people still know that there's hope in Jesus Christ. The church mission is to proclaim the gospel. 1 Timothy 3:15, the second part says, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. What should the church be doing? Holding up the truth. It might ruffle some feathers out there, but we hold up the truth of God. We're to be ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:12, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And we're to display love. John 13:34-35, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children above reproach in the midst of a crooked, perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world. This is just part of what the plan of the church is. God's plan for the church is to evangelize, to teach others, to shine our lights, to be ambassadors. What do ambassadors do? They travel to foreign countries. They make claims for the country that they were sent from. They speak to individuals. Our citizenship is not here on earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. And as Christians, what should we be doing? We should be pointing our way back to the church to show others that they need the church, to be in the church as well. The church is still important. That young man has since drifted away, and the last contact that I've had with him is that he is no longer part of any congregation. He has since moved from where he was to a different state, and as far as I am aware, he is no longer part of any congregation. And I watch his family on Facebook, and they seem happy, but you can tell that there's something missing from their lives. They're not as happy as they were. It's dangerous for Christians to be alone. Because when difficulties do come, we falter. Because we are men. We're men. And that's what happens with man. Is the going gets tough and we step back and we give up. But as a church, we have encouragement to keep pushing forward. And as the church, we have help. And at times, we might have to pick another person up and carry them on our back and to help them get to the finish line. But we know that if we need that help too, they will be there for us. It is not good for man to be alone. Not just Adam, but for all of us. We need to be together in the one body of Christ. So I ask you now, if you're ready to be baptized, if you've been studying, you know what it takes, or even if you don't know what it takes and you're wanting to learn what it takes to become a Christian, to be baptized and to be added to the body of Christ, now is the perfect time to do so. And I ask you, if you're ready, if you want to talk, or if you need prayers for any spiritual needs, please come forward as we stand and we sing "Nothing But the Blood of Jesus."